Market overview. By the end of the second quarter, the S&P 500 had gained about 14% as the rally continued, one of the best returns for the first half of a year since the late 1990s. Credit spreads remained at historical lows, although signs of stress in commercial real estate will likely become more common. Market volatility measures stayed at historical lows, although inflation data remained stubbornly higher and falling more slowly than hoped. Bond markets adjusted smoothly to discounting fewer rate cuts this year as the Fed counseled patience. The yield curve remained inverted, but expansive fiscal policy was financed successfully, and by early July, bond markets had recovered to levels prevailing at the beginning of the year. The story was similar in Europe, albeit with weaker economic activity and the prospect of more rate cuts than in the U.S. Oil prices firmed. The price of gold rose. Those happy to rely on broad financial market aggregates could celebrate strong returns in equities and few immediate signs of stress. Many investment letters, rather than relying on the aggregates, will look beyond them and point to the dominance in equity markets of a small number of big tech stocks driven by enthusiasm for the promise of AI. Not to labor the point, 60% of market returns in the first half was attributable to five companies: Nvidia, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, and Apple. In the second quarter, the concentration became more extreme, with 90% of returns driven by Nvidia, Microsoft, and Apple. The corollary of this in the first half is that all other stocks in the S&P 500 rose only 4%. For equity investment managers, choosing to be all in on AI or not determined relative returns. Global politics was another big topic. Although several elections themselves took place after the quarter end, events were set in place well before. The French election, reflecting President Macron's gamble to try to keep the far right at bay, has succeeded, but at the cost of a functional government. In the UK, the Labour Party won a huge majority in Parliament, rooting the Conservatives, but with well less than 40% of the popular vote. Modi in India was re-elected, but without the landslide that was commonly expected. Financial markets took all this in stride, but investors should try to understand possible longer-term investment implications. It seems to us that electorates are fed up with the status quo. They know what they do not want, but they are not sure what they do want. These are protest votes in the developed countries, while we wait for some broad socioeconomic construct to emerge. It might even be possible to imagine the US election in the same way. The other thought may be that two-party political systems, founded on the old divide between capital and labor, are no longer capable of finding the middle ground that can, to some degree, accommodate the myriad views of complex informed and misinformed societies in a global economy. As we go to press with this letter, President Biden announced he is officially out of the presidential race and Harris is likely to ascend as the Democratic Party nomination. Our friends at Strategess Research recently summed up the unprecedented last few weeks of the American presidential election, stating, "We are 106 days away from the election, and we just received our fourth black swan event in the past 6 weeks. We would not be surprised if another is coming before the winner is declared." For now, the only investment conclusion is that the case for long cycle change, even if what comes next isn't clear, is more and more compelling. China's domestic economy is slowing, and the government is admitting it. Real estate, leverage, and demographic challenges are the reasons. Exports are being pushed as hard as possible to make up for domestic weakness, giving grist to the mill of trade sanctions and tariffs. The more important point for investors is that Chinese economic growth has been responsible for about two-thirds of global economic growth since the Great Financial Crisis. If this engine is sputtering, what can we expect for levels of activity around the world? Finally, the Japanese yen continued to weaken to multi-decade lows in nominal and purchasing power parity terms. Were this to reverse, there could be interesting consequences for investors around the world. Japan is the most significant creditor nation. A stronger yen would be both the cause and symptom of capital repatriation, a self-reinforcing loop. The implications for U.S. capital markets might be important. Investment outlook. What is the starting point for financial markets today? Equities aren't cheap. The cyclically adjusted PE cape is 35.5x, a level only exceeded in 2000 and 2022. Credit spreads are at long-term low levels, but signs of stress are emerging. U.S. banks are increasing loan loss provisions. Commercial real estate loan problems are well known and are slowly spreading to other asset categories as rates stay high. Volatility metrics are at all-time low levels. NAV lending and continuation funds are signs of stress in private equity. Private equity and private credit are absolutely linked. The liability of the former is often the asset of the latter. The Fed, the ECB, the BIS, and the Bank of England are warning of stresses in private credit markets. A lack of good information in markets, which are now nearly as large as public markets, and the consequences of covenant-light lending in the days of zero interest rates. Fiscal deficits are at all-time high levels. In Europe, investors question whether France will be tested by bond markets, as the UK was in 2022, at a time of political standoff. In the US, there are all-time high peacetime deficits, which have worked against efforts to control inflation in advance of a potential new administration. Whichever candidate wins, both have the propensity to spend, and in the case of Trump, there is the likelihood of lower taxes and the certainty of higher trade tariffs. The absence of stress in current market indicators suggests that investors expect continuity. Momentum and indexed investment approaches both rely on continuity, which may be another self-reinforcing feedback loop for the moment. But if we don't rely on these approaches, how can we imagine that financial markets advance from here? Economic growth, especially with China slowing, has been disappointing. Can economic growth, which has been driven by expansive fiscal policy in the last few years, accelerate in the face of growing fiscal constraints? Is the way of the last 15 years, adding leverage and financial engineering, possible with interest rates at higher levels? Can the economy support higher levels of debt, or even current levels of debt, at prevailing interest rates? Are slower growth and higher rates a workable backdrop for higher company earnings, or are higher prices and therefore inflation a necessary prerequisite? Is the AI phenomenon enough to support or drive higher asset prices? Or will its promise be limited by the constraints of the physical economy, particularly the large multi-year investment needed to develop our energy infrastructure? These aren't the only questions, but they are the most important. It seems to us that the combination of the starting point we describe and real financial constraints defined by fiscal policy and higher interest rates suggest at least the possibility of a poor outcome, a negative asymmetry. But we also recognize that this can continue to play out slowly in financial markets. No actors want to rock the boat. We also wonder how the essential investments in public goods, such as electricity infrastructure, can be achieved. The sums are huge, the duration very long, and the financial outcomes are therefore uncertain. In the US, estimates are for a required investment of over $600 billion by 2030. These challenges are further compounded by a lack of qualified engineers to implement the build-out of upgrading the electricity infrastructure. In China, the amount is about $800 billion. As successful as the private sector has been in developing digital technology, which involves smaller sums and faster paybacks, there is little evidence that it has the willingness or resources to take on these challenges without significant help from governments, which face significant fiscal constraints. We believe that there is increasing evidence accumulating for our investment case for long cycle change. A clearer picture of a new cycle can only emerge when acceptance of change is forced on public and private actors by financial necessity. We are not quite there yet. In the meantime, financial markets are full of contradictions. Portfolio positioning. Our views on the prevailing negative asymmetries have strengthened in the course of the year. But this is a question of degree at the margin. There have been no significant portfolio changes because portfolios are designed to absorb market volatility, which permits our approach to take focus away from attempting to trade around market changes in the short term. Our asset allocation model, which reflects our aggregate views on asymmetries, has so far successfully limited downside risk. Consistent with last quarter, we focus on long cycle change in order to position portfolios to gain advantage from long wealth creation. The transition we envisage is gathering pace. mindful of risks to the status quo, we're building portfolio positions in ideas that we think will benefit from the following winds of the new long cycle, which will define the investment context of the next decades. We do not believe the next 10 years will be like the last 10 years. We approach the successful investments of the last decade with caution. Some have a place in the portfolio, but not to the dominant extent of the past. Narrow market leadership is a warning flag. We avoid investments where returns are based on financial engineering, leverage, arbitrage, correlations, etc., rather than wealth creation, and which have broadly defined the past 16 years of very low interest rates. For this reason, we broadly avoid investment in the public and private financial industry. Problems may not be systemic, but they are symptomatic of the ways in which higher rates, which are a fact, slowly work their way through the economy. Growing central bank warnings of links to the regulated banking system are another relevant indicator. We focus on genuine innovation, as opposed to growth with no financial returns. We favor investments predicated on long-term prudent capital management, both in companies and financial intermediaries. We maintain elevated levels of cash and precious metals while this long cycle change gathers momentum, and the related geopolitical and political pressures that are its symptoms remain elevated. We are comfortable being away from the crowd, consensus. We like the energy transition, infrastructure, carbon capture, nuclear, and Japan could be very interesting if they start repatriating capital and companies begin to return capital to investors. A few years ago, we created the Hollowbrook Wealth Alliance as a local networking event that regularly brings together financial professionals in our local area. The popular event is a unique networking opportunity for leading business leaders to discuss topics related to investing, accounting, estate planning, and general business. Often, we feature distinguished expert speakers that discuss a wide variety of topics related to professional pursuits. Recently, we hosted a Ferrari side chat with revered collector automobile expert Wayne Carini. Wayne's wildly successful career has spanned decades, and he is most well known for his globally syndicated television show, Chasing Classic Cars. In front of over 100 guests, Wayne provided a revealing and illuminating account of his business and life experiences. He talked in detail about his entrepreneurial drive and how perseverance and family were key to his many successes. He also shared how a positive attitude helped him overcome many seemingly insurmountable bumps in the road. You can view the exceptional interview here. At Hollowbrook, we are excited to come to work each day and serve our valued clients. We are always ready to help with financial planning, budget modeling, asset allocation, investment management, estate planning, and tax planning. We believe a goal-based, holistic approach to wealth management leads to consistent and long-term success. We are grateful for your steadfast trust in our growing team of dedicated professionals. Sincerely, the HBWM team.